Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Major, commissioning editor here at The Independent, and this is Double Take, a podcast in which our writers come into the studio to read and discuss one of their opinion pieces. It could be their weekly column or something from the archives that shines some light on this week's news. Today, I'm joined by Yaz Nakati, who will be reading their piece, Should Queer People Be Allowed to Exist, or Should We All Just Be Forced to Convert?
Should queer people be allowed to exist or not? This is essentially the question BBC Radio Kent asked this morning when it aired a debate about whether we should still have gay conversion therapy with an accompanying, now removed, Twitter poll. It read, TV doctor Dr. Ranch has told Breakfast gay conversion therapy is akin to psychological abuse. Should gay conversion therapy be banned? One of two options was, it's acceptable practice. Should psychological abuse be banned? Should having consensual sex and relationships with whomever we choose be protected? Should queer people's right to exist be accepted? Or should society just ship us all off to a camp where we can be shamed, tortured, denied who we are, and treated as less than human, all because we aren't heterosexual? I fail to see the debate here. One anonymous survivor of a gay conversion camp reports being told how to eat, talk, walk, dress, even breathe. He recalls being given electroshock therapy every day of the week, harassment and physical abuse. Many survivors of conversion therapy come out the other side with incredibly poor mental health. Some turn to substance abuse, some attempt suicide, some succeed. People who go through conversion therapy face 8.9 times the rates of suicidal ideation. Conversion camps deny queer people our identities, our health, and sometimes even our lives. Again, I fail to see the debate here. The fact that gay conversion therapy is even still legal in the UK is a shock to many. It was a shock to me when I found out. I'm queer and trans, and I've known since a very young age, even before I admitted my identity to myself, that these identities were not quite as acceptable in the eyes of society. After all, you can bet if a group of people opened up a centre offering to cure straight people, it would be shut down immediately, and rightly so. But we aren't afforded this. Our lives are second best in the eyes of the government. Our lives are clearly also second best in the eyes of the BBC, but it's not just them. If you're queer or trans, you know this. The Radio Times recently ran a poll, Should Strictly Come Dancing Feature Same-Sex Couples, which got an almost 50% no vote. It's hard not to read that as, should we admit these people exist, or should we continue conveniently pretending that they don't? Then there's the fact that pretty much every major publication out there regularly runs articles about whether denying that trans people are the gender they say they are is transphobic or simply radical feminism. It sounds an awful lot like when we used to debate whether gay people existed or not, whether they should be allowed to use certain changing rooms or toilets, or whether they could really know from a young age who they were. We're having that exact same debate right now when it comes to trans rights, and we shouldn't be. My identity and my right to exist as freely as anyone else should not be a panel discussion on daytime television or a radio stint to increase viewings. No one's denying it works. I've never listened to BBC Radio Kent in my life before this, and now I'm writing a whole article off the back of one of its features. But, and this is the crucial part, the reason we're still debating any of these things is also due to ignorance, fear, privilege, and a complete lack of creativity. If I wasn't queer or trans, who knows? Maybe I'd also be tempted to bandy about controversial views on the subject for attention. And that's where creativity comes in. It's lazy and careless to use minority groups as the butt of a debate just to pull in more viewers. We deserve more respect and more kindness than that. Think of other ways to do it. Project our experiences, which are so often not heard. Don't gamble with our lives and our health like it means nothing. BBC Radio Kent has apologised on its Twitter page for the poll. But apologies aren't really good enough. The damage has been done. We've been reminded once again that we are second-class citizens.
Thank you for reading your piece, Yaz. So for listeners who might not have read about this topic before, I thought maybe we could just go through some of the terms that you used in the piece. So what do we mean when we use the terms gay, queer and trans?
Okay, so gay, I guess, is just for somebody who's not heterosexual, usually just experiencing attraction to the same gender as them. And queer is really an umbrella term for people who identify as gay or bisexual, being attracted to more than one gender, or pansexual, being attracted to many different genders. So we kind of use it as an umbrella term for all sexualities that aren't straight, basically. And then transgender describes anybody who identifies as a gender different to the one that they were assigned at birth. So for example, thinking of a famous transgender person like Laverne Cox, for example, who would have been assigned male at first, so at birth. So the doctors would have said, it's a boy, but then she would have grown up feeling like a girl, feeling like a woman, and made the steps to transition later in life and live as a woman, even though people had treated her as a boy growing up. But when we think of transgender, we usually just think of people who move from identifying as male to female or female to male, but actually it's anyone who doesn't match the gender identity that they were assigned. So people who identify as non-binary as well, which is neither male nor female, and there are all sorts of different gender identities as well that come under that, but trans is just an umbrella term, I guess, for everyone who identifies that way.
And why do you feel at the moment it seems as if we're in an epoch where some people just can't get their head around this? It seems that every other day in the newspaper you have a story which says, oh, you know, children shouldn't be taught about trans rights in schools, there shouldn't be gender non-binary bathrooms and places, and there seems to be a real almost moral panic about it at the moment. Where do you think this has come from?
I think it's just a real resistance against what people know and the sort of norms of our society. And it's interesting because it really reflects how we treated gay people maybe not even that long ago.
Well, the 80s. You know? Loads of people have been comparing it to, especially the stuff around trans rights in schools or trans people going into schools to do workshops, to Section 28, which the Tories brought in the 80s, saying that no homosexual sex education can be taught on the curriculum.
Yeah, I think the wording they used was like, you're not allowed to promote homosexuality.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so even as a teacher back then, if somebody come to you and was like, I'm gay, you couldn't be like, it's okay, you know, you had to just, otherwise you would be promoting homosexuality. And I think it's interesting because you saw a lot of changes changes in law that meant that gay people were getting more rights, changes in terms of them being allowed into spaces without being raided and things like that. But then there was a massive public backlash anytime any sort of change happened. And it's the same with trans people now. And of course, gay people, queer people still are discriminated against now, but you can see it with trans people so much more, I think, in the mainstream media. So much more. And it's almost as if those identities are up for debate rather than just something that's accepted as, well, that's somebody's identity and we should work as a society to become more accommodating for people who identify to a different gender than the one that was initially on their birth certificate. But yeah, I think with any change that happens, and you see it throughout history, there's always a backlash. And I think I mean, a lot of the generation growing up now have very different opinions about trans rights. And I think, well, I hope that that will carry through. And the next generation will grow up seeing it as a little bit more, okay, that's just how things are. Like, hopefully people are seeing queer people now.
I think it's definitely a lot more up for debate. I mean, I'm maybe about 10 years older than you-ish.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I don't look it, yeah.
You don't.
Thanks. And I remember growing up and watching TV and films like Ace Ventura, where it was totally okay to be transphobic. Mm. Like, all like the trans person was always the butt of the jokes. Mm. And growing up, sexual identities were never really on the cards so much, especially not ones which fell outside of a lesbian, gay, straight binary.
Mm.
Bisexual is very exotic in 2007. Going to school in Liverpool, very. And now I speak to my little cousins who are in school, and it's all up for grabs, and it's all up for debate. And it feels like there's a little bit of a panic from parents.
Mm.
But I always feel like you can put people into two camps. There's the people who like live by rules, and they're like, but that's not the way the world works. Mm. And they really freak out because they see the world set in quite distinct patterns.
Mm.
And then you see other people who are like, well, what are the consequences of this? Well, actually, they're okay. There's no bad can come from this.
Mm.
And I hope maybe that we can turn around the sort of the rules-based people who really, really freak out about the whole thing. But I think what these people don't realize, and what I'd like to ask you is, I don't think they realize the impact they have, that these debates are having.
Mm.
Like, by debating someone's identity, what are the real life implications of that for people like yourself?
I think it's just quite scary, being queer and being trans, in a world that is sort of predominantly full of people who are straight and people who are cisgender, which is like identifying with the same gender that they were assigned at birth. I think it's scary because anyone you meet, you just don't know whether they're going to be okay with you or not. And people talk about coming out as if it's something that happens once in your life and that's it, you're out. But it's just not like that. And, you know, queer and trans people will know this, that every person you meet, it's a new trying to figure out, is it okay to say? I mean, people look at me and just assume that I'm gay because we have stereotypes about these things. And actually, I perpetuate those stereotypes because I want people to know that straight away. I don't want to have to come out all the time. But I still hesitate over the word girlfriend and think, should I just say partner? You know, things like that. And even people who are well-meaning, sometimes you get awkward silences. It's not the same reaction that you would get, you know? And then at the same time, it's having to say, sorry, my pronouns are they, them. And most people don't even know what that means. So then it's that awkward, like, do I explain this? Like, do I want to have to explain my existence all the time? It's so tiring. Or do I just not say anything and have somebody call me the wrong thing? And I think for a lot of people who've never been called the wrong gender pronoun, don't really know how difficult that is. Like, when I was younger and everyone thought, well, I thought I was a girl, everyone thought I was a girl, but occasionally people would call me he because I looked like a young boy. And that was my first experience of being like, whoa, like, that's weird. And then as I got older, I felt that with she as well, because I didn't feel one or the other. So yeah, I think it's scary because you just don't know how people are going to react. And you have people, like you say, who are just like, oh, that's interesting. Like, let's have a chat about that. Or, okay, I'll call you by that. And people who are really well-intentioned and might mess up your pronouns sometimes would just be like, oh, sorry, which is like totally cool because we're brought up in a binary society and to see things in a really binary way. So like, if somebody gets confused about your pronouns, like, of course that's going to happen because that's how our brains have been trained since birth. And I get confused about people's pronouns all the time and I ask people to call me they. you know? So I think that's fine, but it's when people aren't well-intentioned and you don't know who's not going to be.
We're now going to pause for an ad break before we come back to Yaz.
When your identity is treated as something that isn't really, maybe not even legitimate, just something that people can have a nice chat about, you know? Yeah, a radio debate or a TV debate or something, you know. I'm sure, I mean, I've seen some of the Piers Morgan debates that have gone on. And he's obviously very confused about things. But as somebody watching that, you just feel like society doesn't accept me. Society just sees me as a talking point. And that's difficult.
Because if you're experiencing it on a day-to-day level, like every interaction feels like a little bit of a battle, and then when you turn on the TV and it's an actual battle, like, mm-hmm. actually maybe you shouldn't exist in the world and you should get cured. Like, I can't even imagine how infuriating that can be. So you spoke about the Radio Kent being one example of how to do it really badly, but I'm wondering, you know, if listeners are interested and they want to learn more or watch more, like, what sort of cultural reference points, TV shows or books, like what should people be watching and reading if they want to actually really understand what it means to be trans and gender non-binary or to be gay in like 2017?
Oh gosh, so many things. Well, first I really want to recommend the Twitter Transactual, which does a hashtag facts about trans, and sort of dispels all the negative myths that a lot of media and society are putting out about trans people, you know, like the fact that people are just sex offenders, you know, that trans women are just like men dressing up as women to like do, like to just get into women's spaces, things like that. And it really dispels all of those myths with like really clear facts. It's really great. And there's a really, really, there's some really interesting articles by someone called Patrick Strudwick, who is the now LGBT editor at BuzzFeed. And he sort of went and got gay conversion therapy undercover in the UK.
Was it the one in Liverpool?
I don't think it was in Liverpool. Oh, okay. It might have been. I'm not sure exactly where. But yeah, he actually had a article published in The Independent about his experience there with the sort of two therapists who he saw. And he's written some more stuff about it on BuzzFeed since, and it's really interesting stuff to sort of see exactly what happens. And I guess in terms of queer media, I mean, there's not loads of mainstream stuff. Like in the UK, we have things like Diva magazine, which which I do enjoy sometimes. It's great. And I guess in terms of like a web reference, like Autostraddle is my go-to for queer, like women and non-binary stuff. It's really great. And in terms of books and things, there's a really great one called She of the Mountains by Vivek Shraya, which is really good.
Which everyone should get for Christmas.
It's a really great book, and it's got like illustrations as well, really easy to read, like written half poetry, like looking at like Hindu mythology and stuff. And she identifies as a trans woman, but at the time she was identifying as a gay man. So yeah, it was really interesting to see her take on gender and sexuality in that. I think those would be my top recommendations.
Everyone should read your articles as well. So Yaz, yeah. You've been writing for us for the past, how many months have you been with us now?
Since February.
And you're on apprenticeship scheme. So Yaz is one of those really, really annoying, brilliant young people who are just too good for how young they are and put all of us other people to shame. So people should read your stuff too. It's really brilliant. And thank you for writing this article. I think, it's having more inclusive writers like yourself, I think, goes a long way as well to dispel a lot of the myths that some other outlets put out. So thank you. And thanks for joining us today.
No, yeah, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. Please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, Acast or wherever else you get your podcasts. Helen Hodnott produced this episode. I'm Kirsty Major. See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.